Now, migration is, and has been for a bit, well, almost the entirety of the Australian political experience, migration has been a vexed issue. There's a lot of current political rhetoric about migrants being a burden on Australia's congested cities, taking jobs. Now, an Oxfam report has found that lifting our humanitarian intake could benefit the economy by tens of billions of dollars over the next half century. Well, that flies in the face of certain accepted public orthodoxies. It's based on modelling by Deloitte Access Economics. It's called Stronger Together. And it's a report that argues that boosting the refugee intake to 44,000 by 2022-23 financial year, it'll stimulate consumer spending, it'll create jobs, and, well, it'll do a bit to keep refugee families together. Lynn Morgane is Chief Executive of Oxfam. Lynn, welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
This is we had a recent conversations, for example, around infrastructure, around our growing cities. Migration is blamed for the problems in our big cities. You're really proposing a counter-narrative here.
Yeah, we are. I think the report makes very clear that contrary, as you say, to the prevailing orthodoxy, actually humanitarian entrants are very effective at engaging in community over time, given the right support, and that in time translates to a net economic benefit overall. So really, particularly when we talk about infrastructure, actually their spending will in turn contribute to the public purse, which will in turn drive the opportunity to contribute to infrastructure.
Is there a transitional problem there, especially in terms of that sort of, you know, city resource, city infrastructure, housing stock, and in what you were proposing to increase that intake to 44,000 in a couple of years? Does that place a momentary burden?
Look, it was interesting. I had the opportunity to listen to the author of the report today, and she was speaking about the fact that the trouble with most modelling is shockingly short term. So it does tend to look in, you know, let me say, perhaps electoral cycles. And the benefit of this research is it gives us a longer term view. But I think the other thing she said that I thought was compelling was she made the point that the number we're talking about here is infinitesimal as it relates to broader population growth. You know, 44,000 nationally really is a drop in the ocean. And those broader population challenges are challenges for government irrespective.
And yet migration as a proportion of Australian population growth is very significant.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose, you know, our report and our mission doesn't really focus on migration per se. What it does focus on is the, you know, 25.9 million refugees globally that require resettlement. Mm. And the fact that of those, the bulk are being settled in low and middle income countries who can least afford to do so. Most of those countries are accepting in excess of a million people. So this is about fair share.
You're suggesting that we as a country might have a sort of a moral humanitarian burden.
There's no question in my mind that the first obligation is a moral one. What this does, though, is it shows us that it is not going to cost us to do so.
In fact, it will be of economic benefit.
That's right.
And yet, Prime Minister Scott Morrison went to the last election campaign promising, and this was taken to be an electoral positive, to freeze that humanitarian intake at 18,750. That's less than half of what you're suggesting.
Yes, and I think it's important, you know, Oxfam certainly treats this as a community conversation. I think like a lot of other contentious issues, it's easy for politicians to become polarised. What we look to is the breadth of community experience, people's own churches, schools, communities, workplaces, where they have seen and experienced the deep value, social, cultural, and ultimately economic, of having humanitarian entrants present. And we believe that it is that experience that ultimately will drive the political narrative.
Deloitte Access Economics, now their figures say GDP would be around $5 billion a year better off over the next 50 years, if your plan, your sort of numbers got up. How do we work out figures like that? How do they come to that conclusion?
Yes, again, I mean, I have said a couple of times today, I'm not an economist, but I was hanging out with the economists today. And
some of my best friends are economists.
Yes, indeed. So they were talking about what they call a general economy model, which allows them, as if I understand it correctly, to plug in what-if scenarios. So essentially what they've done is they've said, what if we raise the intake to 44,000? And then what they've looked at is, and it, you know, it's pretty sophisticated work. Firstly, they look at what are the costs associated with settling refugees in the first instance. Mm-hmm. Then they've taken existing waves of humanitarian entrance and looked at what their education and employment patterns were. So it's not as if this is just a random calculation. In fact, it's based on good experience of what we know happens for refugees. And they've said, notwithstanding all of that, at the end of the day, you can see educational and employment attainment at levels of the rest of the community within a number of years.
I mean, as a group in the community to study, refugees, people who come here under very strict visa conditions, over time must be an incredibly easy group to monitor for this sort of life experience. We must have very concrete, very hard data on how these lives work out.
We do. And, you know, it was interesting. My colleague from Monash that did the work around the impact on terms of mental health of family separation, she made the point today that what we have not comprehensively studied, and it's strange that we haven't, is what the adverse impact of being separated from a family member, if that family member is at risk of persecution, is perhaps displaced and living in a camp. And her work was really looking at the improvements you got in terms of mental health, study and employment when families were allowed to reunite.
So there's two parts here. We get an economic uptick by increasing that humanitarian intake.
Yeah.
And we get a kind of multiplier effect, if we can use the economic expression.
Indeed.
By allowing family members of those people to join them.
Yes, and I think it's important that, you know, we are seeking a specific family reunification stream within that 44, and we're doing that partly because it is the right thing to do, and I don't think a single Australian would say that it was not essential that we enable families to be together. But that amount is capped, and it is within the 44,000. So if you like, it's actually a means of getting maximum benefit. Like you say, it's a multiplier. It helps us ensure successful settlement.
How important is it? I mean, what I mentioned before about the last election campaign and the presence of the migration or the humanitarian intake conversation with that, how important is it to shift that conversation out of that no doubt laudable sort of moral framework into this ground of economics, of numbers?
I think it is important. Obviously, organisations like Oxfam would like to think that the moral arguments were the most compelling. Mm. You know, we are humanitarians, that's why we exist. But the truth is that the release of this report has really illustrated that it is useful to help people work through any concerns or misgivings or fallacies that may be around about what the consequence is of accepting these humanitarian entrance.
And yet, what are the chances? What are the chances of work like this shifting public opinion?
Well, in the first instance, change comes with broad-based community movements. We know that. Oxfam's interest, and anyone who wants to join with us can go to oxfam.org.au, sign up to the campaign and become a participant in these conversations. It's our belief that by nurturing these community conversations, we have a much greater chance of influencing our elected representatives and in turn the relevant policy.
Any sort of political response yet from your report?
Not thus far.
But you will be propelling it into the
appropriate hands. We will be, of course
hands.
We will be. And look, you know, I have to say there are great experiences on both sides of politics of recognition of the humanitarian pressures. You know, we did see a 12,000 person increase in respect of the Syrian crisis. You know, we have seen politicians really come to grips with this and take the necessary action. We're really looking for that in recognition that, you know, we have 70 million people displaced globally. Those are record levels and they grow every year.
I'm trying to work out, Lynn, and thank you for your words of explanation. I'm trying to work out what proportion of those millions is 44,000, but those with a better head for figures than me can work that out.
Indeed, and the calculation that was done was actually quite sophisticated because they discounted those countries that could not reasonably be expected to afford to take additional.
And that hasn't even factored in, well, the coming sort of crisis in population flow around climate, but perhaps that's a conversation for another.
I'm happy to come back and we could talk all about that too.
Lynn, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Lynn Morgane is Chief Executive of Oxfam. That new report suggesting a refugee intake, 44,000 by 2022-23.